taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
While this quote is often taken out of context, Jesus did say that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Well, if there's one thing that is true, whether you read it from scripture or elsewhere, knowing the truth is important. And it can be very freeing rather than being controlled by the opinion or the agenda of others. So it's important to do all that we can to find the truth. Now, there's actually a war on truth going on in society today, at least at the upper echelons of society. You look at the academy, you look at the media, you look at Hollywood, and it seems like they're doing everything they can to say, no, truth doesn't exist. 2 + 2 = 5. Men are somehow women if they feel like it. And, you know, the very idea of truth is actually being considered racist. But if we go back, if we actually try to find the truth, if we do what we can to go back to the original documents, to go to the original information and find out what the truth is, we will find it a very freeing experience rather than a burden. I have found that the search for truth, at least as best as I can, frees me from a lot of what drives a lot of people nuts nowadays. So I want to take some time and take a look at some of the truths that are coming out, whether it's from investigation or just information coming to the fore. Let's start with a story about a lawmaker in the House. Representative Jerry Connolly, chairman of the House Government Operations Subcommittee, and he's urging the president to create an independent commission to investigate the January 6th breach of the U.S. Capitol. Now, why is this representative asking for it? Well, because the Congress hasn't been able to do it themselves. There were not enough votes in the Senate to move the measure along, so Congress can't do it, so they want an investigation. They're asking the president to do it. Now, I guess the first question I have is the president, the executive branch, the proper branch to do this? Why do I bring this up? Well, my question is, what happened on January 6th? Because I've gotten some conflicting information. For example, I've heard it referred to as insurrection. I've heard it referred to as a riot. I've heard it referred to as storming the Capitol. But I've also seen video evidence of protesters talking to the Capitol Police, establishing guidelines by which they would be allowed to enter. There is video evidence of someone, sitting at Nancy Pelosi's desk. There's evidence that someone stole one of her computers. I see some crimes there. But part of me is torn. On the one hand, if we want to know the truth, well, we've got to find the truth. On the other hand, I don't know that I trust politicians to set up a commission to find the truth. They're notoriously not very good at it. Do I want the president to do it? Well, the president is ahead of the executive branch. And they have the investigative bodies, they have the FBI, but they've been so politicized, I don't know that we get the truth out of them anyway. So regardless of who might put together a commission and an investigation, I'm pretty sure that a significant percentage of the American people won't trust the outcome, no matter who does it, which to me tells me a lot about the state of government and those in government today. To me, they're rather like the boy who cried wolf. Nobody really believes them anymore. We all listen. We believe them when we agree with them. We don't believe them when we disagree with them. That's become the mantra. I would like to know. I would like a definitive answer on what happened on January 6th. I just don't know that I trust the government to get there, especially since we've already had evidence of them, misrepresenting what actually happened. Now, there has been, again, some video evidence. Body cam footage was released, and this footage, which has been obtained by some outlets, purports to show a former Marine and retired NYPD officer shouting at Capitol Police, again, kind of pushing the mantra of criminal actions. But then again, I've also seen video released of, as I said, protesters negotiating with Capitol Police, asking them, can we come in? Under what conditions can we come in? So I want more information. I want, you know, if they're going to release the body cam footage, release all the body cam footage, not just bits and pieces. That's not looking for truth. That's looking to set an agenda. That's filtering the information that is beneficial to whatever side there is. And we need to learn to look past simply the information that we're given and assume that's all there is. Another story, again, from January 6th. The Department of Justice has seized $90,000 from a Utah man who sold footage of Ashley Babbitt being shot. Now, that footage to me, that's evidence. That's important. I find two things interesting. This story actually comes from the Epoch Times. I found two things very interesting. One, not a surprise, someone had footage and they looked to get a financial advantage from it. Not exactly surprising. The fact that it's evidence of a homicide, possibly manslaughter, possibly murder, possibly self-defense. They were looking for a financial advantage. I'm not surprised that stuff happens. But what's interesting is the person who got the footage is claimed to be a Black Lives Matter supporter, which brings into question a lot of what happened in the Capitol on that day. Were the people who were instigating the violence, who were doing the damage, were they the supporters, those who questioned the legitimacy of the presidential election when they saw evidence that several states had violated the Constitution by changing the manner of appointing electors without in a manner other than the state legislature? Or was it others from a group, say, like Black Lives Matter, who has a history of inciting violence? Now, does that mean that this person did? I do not know. Again, more information, because I don't trust the filters that are being placed on the information that is coming out. The same way that the DOJ released footage that was antagonistic to one side, we have the DOJ releasing other information that is antagonistic to the other side. That may be, quote unquote, fair and balanced. It may be showing both sides. It doesn't necessarily show the truth. Because there's probably a lot more information that is available to the Department of Justice, but is not being made available to the American people. Now, is that because they're using it to build a case, or is it because they've shown themselves to be so politicized they're trying to walk a political tightrope? We don't know. We will eventually figure out over time, but at this moment, we don't know. What I am pretty sure of is that the information we're getting is being filtered by worldviews and agendas. And one of the people that's been, well, not intentionally, but been rather upfront about it, is Don Lemon. So if you listen to Don Lemon, if you hear him either because you watch his program or you hear any interviews of him, keep this in mind. He was interviewed by the Washington Post magazine. And at one point, he suggested that America may not even see blacks as fully human. Now, that reminds me of another verse of scripture. Before you pull the speck out of your brother's eye, take the plank out of your own. For a man who seems to believe that everyone in America is racist, or at least all primarily white people in America are racist, he's the one that seems to be judging people based on their race. He says, we're living in two different realities as black and white people. Well, that may be the case, but I don't think it's actually the way he means it. Right now, if you're a black person, you're being given advantages from affirmative action in college entrance exams to the fact that many schools in predominantly black neighborhoods are failing, but yet those in government are refusing to assist families to choose other schools. If you work for some of the larger corporations, well, if you're black, you're basically said you're fine, but if you're white, you're treated as a racist. So, we are living in two different realities. The reality is that while America has spent decades digging its way out of its racist roots, we are now working very hard to go back to them, to implement segregation, to implement separate but equal, and even to vilify things that have historically shown to lead to a better outcome for people. Completing school, getting married before having children, having a job, doing a job well, all of these historically have been the way most people have gotten out of poverty and led much better lives. But if you're a black person today, you have many of your leaders telling you, nope, that's not being black. If you're going to be black, you got to vote for Joe Biden, whether you agree with his policies or not. Because as Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for him, you ain't black. And continuing with the racist theme, I found this article in The Federalist. Apparently, a group of Rhode Island teachers are so in favor of implementing critical race theory that they are offering extra credit to any of their students who agree to testify on anti-critical race theory state bill. That's right. If you live in Rhode Island and you're sending your children to school, apparently in some schools, the teachers are willing to use your students, your children, as props for political agenda. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't have so much a problem with teachers disagreeing with any state legislation. I just don't think we give them the authority to use our children as props to do that. Now, a group called Parents Defending Education found documentation that show at least two educators in two different departments of the Barrington High School in Barrington, Rhode Island, offer 5 extra credit points to student to be used on their next exam if they choose to go and either verbally or written comment on the legislation. So the real question is, will they get the extra credit regardless of whether they are for or against the legislation? Now, according to reports, these two teachers strongly urged students to partake in the hearing after left-leaning rants against the legislation or other diatribes. They said, everything's open for discussion after they clearly oppose the legislation. So I tend to believe that they're trying to encourage their students to oppose such legislation. Now, one of these was a social studies teacher. Okay, you might have a class assignment that says, let's talk about a bill. Let's even contact our legislatures. But my question stands. If a student turns in a written letter to their legislator claiming that they like the idea of the anti-CRT legislation, will they still get the 5 extra points on their class, on their exam? Which is another interesting question, because isn't the exam supposed to be testing their comprehension of a topic? By giving them extra points for a political activity, you're actually diluting the purpose of the test. Tests aren't there simply to come up with grades. They're there, they're supposed to be there to test that the student comprehends the material they're being taught. So the teacher is actually going to dilute the effectiveness of the test to get the children apparently to engage in a political activity with a politically preferred agenda. And then teachers and administrators wonder why there has been this grassroots rebellion against critical race theory, with parents in coming to school board meetings, in many cases across the country. There are reports of at least 165 groups that are forming to combat critical race theory. Now, I've heard the news, they're not teaching CRT. They're teaching all the things that CRT teaches you. They're just not using the CRT logo. CRT, from what I've read, and I've talked about it here before, critical race theory is a racist Marxist agenda. It is using race to divide the people for a Marxist agenda. It's, you look at their material, you go to critical theory, I think it's criticaltheory.org, you read the basis for it. They assume that the entire world is set up against a black person. All of America was designed to keep black people down. The very idea of teaching math and expecting correct answers, expecting students to show up on time, to turn in their homework, showing up to work on time, having a job, delaying having children until you're married, that is all racist. And that if you happen to be white, you're a racist, which is the very definition of racism, judging someone by the color of their skin. And now that parents are learning about what's being taught to their children, this is one of the benefits of the illegal lockdowns is finally, we have parents seeing what is being taught to their children and going, oh no. And then they wonder why. Why would parents be upset about what's being taught to their children if their children are being taught to be racist? Or on the flip side, not only being taught to be racist, but imagine, everyone focuses on, all the poor white children, they're being told they're evil racists simply because of the color of their skin. What about the poor black children? The children that are being told that the things that will best grant them success, not because of the color of their skin, but because we live in a world where certain things are true. If you work hard, you're more likely to succeed. There's a tremendous correlation between getting an education, getting a job, getting married, and having kids in that order. But imagine you're a young black child being told that, no, don't do that. Oh, heavens, no, you don't want to do that. That's white. No, don't drop out of school, have kids before you're married, go on the dole. Everything that is designed that would actually damage a person's life is what they're being taught. Can you think of anything more racist than that? That is the truly nasty part of this. It is, as much as people are focusing on the damage being done to white children by being trained in this, think of the damage being done not just emotionally, but economically. Their future that is being thrown away because some group of academics who've been educated into imbecility are so obsessed with race that they won't even emulate what has been shown to work time and time again because they think it's white. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see the decline of the black people in America, you want to know when the decline went really took off? They were digging themselves. We were digging ourselves out of racism, out of Jim Crow. We had dealt with slavery. We were digging ourselves out. We were finally making progress. And then what happened? The government came around and says, "We will be your parents. We will take care of you." And the family, the black family, disintegrated. And we are reaping the whirlwind of that disintegration. And that is being perpetuated by this critical race theory. Critical race theory is not beneficial to black people. It's detrimental to them. But it's continuing to be promoted. And I'm glad to see parents standing up. I only wish more would. But since we're still talking about racism in America, how about this? There are multiple farmers in Illinois suing different parts of the federal government. They're suing the Secretary Vilsack. They're suing the Department of Agriculture. Why? We see Congress passed this legislation called the American Rescue Plan Act, an illegal piece of legislation pretty much from top to bottom. But what they're suing is that the statute authorizes the federal government to distribute $1.9 trillion in federal funds. And in Section 1005, it directs the secretary to pay up to 120% of outstanding indebtedness of, quote, socially disadvantaged farmers or ranchers as of January 1 of this year. That's right. It's being applied as a racist program. You see, according to the court, to the case, Section 1005 assumes that farmers or ranchers are socially disadvantaged simply because of their membership in a racial group. That's right. If you're a wealthy black farmer, you get to have your 120% of your debt written off, meaning you get money back. If you're a poor white farmer, too bad. See, this is the truth of racism in America. The truth is, while America had made great strides over the decades to minimize and eliminate racism, to eliminate it at the systemic level, to minimize it at the personal level, and now it is rearing its ugly head. It's been going on for a long time. You go all the way back to the 70s and 80s, and you talk about affirmative action. Affirmative action is racist. It says you get a better deal, you have a better chance of getting into a school if you're a member of a certain group, if you have a certain skin color. Not because of anything that actually happened to you, but because of the color of your skin. So that's the truth about affirmative action. It's racist. And that has grown and metastasized like a cancer to the point where not only governments, but corporations are training not only our students, our adults, our employees to be racist, to judge people based on the color of their skin. We have schools with segregated dorms, segregated graduations. I seem to remember several people like the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and whatnot that pushed to get rid of segregation, that pushed to stop Rosa Parks, stop the segregation on the buses. Those organizations that claim to have a heritage with those people are now pushing for the very segregation their predecessors fought against. Now, here's the truth. Are there racists in America? Absolutely. You would be a fool to assume there are not racists in America. Is it systemic? Do we have laws that segregate people, that disadvantage people based on the color of their skin? Well, yeah. The American Rescue Plan Act is a racist piece of legislation. Now, I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, green, purple. If we're judging people based on the color of their skin, that is racist. And the truth is, America is instituting a systemic racism that was dealt with 50 years ago. 50 years ago, we worked hard to eliminate systemic racism. Here we are today, with a group of people working very, very hard to bring it back. If you want to know the truth, systemic racism is making a resurgence in America because of people promoting racist policies in government, racist policies in education, racist policies in corporations. And they're actually doing more damage to the people they claim to be helping than what was done to them before. All of the advancements made are being wiped away faster than you could ever imagine because a relatively small group of people think they know better. They are swimming in their own racism. Don Lemon is just an example. He doesn't believe that Americans can look at a black person and see it as a human being. I find that morally offensive. And if I talk to my friends, they find it morally offensive because it is not true, but it promotes this idea. You have a small group of people promoting the idea that America is racist, and then, surprise, surprise, saying, give me power so that I can fix it for you. And you look at what they're doing, and they're just making things worse. That is the truth. And if you want to be set free, you start by recognizing the actual outcome of these policies and deciding then, the truth is that CRT and all of this is racist. The freedom is, then I don't have to be a racist. I can avoid it simply by not judging people based on the color of their skin. Now, before I head off to break, I want to remind you, I'm heading out to my Knowing Your Rights tour. I am looking forward to meeting Americans across this great country. Yes, we have problems, and we tend to focus on the problems here, but they're not beyond fixing. We are not powerless to deal with these problems. We can learn the truth, and it can set us free. So head to constitutionstudy.com/tour. Find out what I'm talking about. Learn more about the tour. See the locations and dates. If I'm going to be near you, please come visit. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to shake your hand. I'd love to know that you're an America Out Loud listener. It's wonderful. If I'm not coming near you, scroll to the bottom of the page. You can invite me. I will do all I can. Just name, email address. We'll set up a Zoom call. And I would love the opportunity to come to your area. It doesn't have to be a big event. We don't have to have some, big social gathering. One of the meetings I'm having is a group of people meeting in the back of a bakery. So do me a favor, head to constitutionstudy.com/tour, find out more about the tour, join me, invite me to come out there. I'm looking forward to meeting Americans. I'm looking forward to being on the road. And tell you, when I'm on the road, every time I've traveled, almost every time I travel, I often come back, not feeling that well, right? I call it the conference crud. You go to a conference, you always come back, you're around a bunch of people, you don't feel so well. Well, that's because you're inundating your body with all sorts of stuff that you're encountering. You really need your immune system up and running when you do a trip like this. So I'm planning, I'm going to healthycell.com and I'm getting my immune super boost. Go to healthycell.com/outloud. You get 20% off your first order. You can get the immune super boost that supports your immune system, helps you get your body up and running and able to deal with whatever diseases your body encounters. And it comes in a handy-to-use, travel-ready gel pack. Just shoot the gel pack or mix it in a drink. It's wonderful. I got the REM Sleep. I'm going to use that to help me sleep through the night when I'm in the hotels. It's a wonderful thing. Please support Healthy Cell. They support this program. So go to healthycell.com/outloud. Support the work that they're doing. And again, Out Loud listeners, you get 20% off your first order. So go there today and then join me right after this break.
Is a record player the best way to listen to music? Of course not. So why are you still taking vitamins that haven't been upgraded since the 1930s? Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's time to upgrade to Healthy Cells pill-free, patent-pending microgel supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. They taste great, convenient on the go, and they're more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You know, the line from the X-Files is, the truth is out there. It is out there. We can find it, and that truth can set us free. But we have to go looking for it, because it's not going to come and drop in our laps. Now, I spent the first half of the program talking pretty much about a lot of the racist issues, the truth about CRT and other programs. I want to get away from that just because I've had enough. I want to talk about some others. For example, the NSA has decided they're going to release some records on the FBI spying on 16,000 Americans. Remember, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. And apparently, NSA has some dirt on the FBI's actions. Because the way they've said, hey, they've been improperly spying on thousands of Americans. Now, if this surprises you, I think maybe you need to get your head out of the sand. This has been going on. This is nothing new. You go all the way back to the Patriot Act, to the FISA courts, and what you have are you have the NSA, the FBI, other three-letter agencies spying on the American people. Oh, sure, they may be a little sneaky about it. They may actually be, you know, spying on somebody else, and you know, somebody knows somebody knows somebody. But apparently, the Transparency Project is seeking information on an FBI database of searches for information on 16,000 Americans. Now, here's the truth. The odds are that the FBI did not spy on you. There's 330 million Americans. You're talking 16,000. On the other hand, those 16,000 could really have been damaged. We don't know yet, because you don't know if that data was what data was accumulated and how it was used. But we are all damaged because we have a federal government spying on its own people. That damages the consent of the governed. We have this little thing called the Fourth Amendment. You're supposed to be free from an unreasonable search, that there has to be a warrant, that the warrant has to meet certain criteria. It has to be based on probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and specifically detailing what can be searched. If we're not getting that, then the truth is, America is not nearly as free as we thought. Now, of course, the FBI says, oh, no, all these were reasonably reasonably likely to return foreign intelligence information or evidence of a crime. Based on what? Remember, probable cause supported by oath or affirmation. Just because someone in the FBI thinks it's reasonably likely they're going to get some foreign intelligence is not sufficient cause to violate the Fourth Amendment. And in fact, by doing so under color of law, the people who executed these searches have committed a federal crime, Title 18, United States Code, Section 242. This gets back to a limited and defined government. And all of those involved, especially the leaders, the people who ordered this, the people who circumvented the Constitution to make this happen, need to not only be exposed to sunlight, we need to not only know the truth, but they need to be punished through a court of law. They need to be charged. They need to be tried. And if they're found guilty, punished for these crimes. This is not simply a oops. You know, this isn't a, we had an error when we keyed in your tax return and we charged you too much. You've stolen something that cannot be given back. An unreasonable search cannot be undone. You cannot unring that bell. The truth is, the federal government is spying directly and indirectly on the American people. The truth is, we all walk around with a surveillance device on us because we all walk around with a cell phone. And the courts have somehow come up with the irrational belief that you don't expect that your records of where you travel with your cell phone should be available to the federal government without a warrant. The courts think that's quite reasonable. I don't know many Americans who think that's quite reasonable. You have a phone, if it's a smartphone, you have an operating system that's tracking you. And oh, by the way, if it's a Google operating, if it's Android, there have been plenty of tests that they are, even when you tell them, no, don't track me, they're still tracking you. When you go to social media, they're tracking everything you're searching and doing there. Even when you use a search algorithm like Google, they're tracking you. And the federal government just loves to go to these companies and say, hey, give me all the data you have on so-and-so. See, the national truth is we have all given up privacy for convenience. However, the Fourth Amendment, the truth is, the Fourth Amendment does not say you have a right to privacy. It says you have a right to be free of unreasonable, to be secure against unreasonable searches and seizures. That means while you may allow Google and Apple and Verizon and Sprint and Facebook and Twitter and whatnot and to track your movements, your activity on the internet, doesn't mean the government has a reasonable expectation to be able to search that. See, the truth is they're getting away with it because we the people let them, because when those on the courts, especially the Supreme Court, came up with this ridiculously stupid, what's called the third party doctrine, which actually started with, I believe, with checking accounts and telephone records. The government wanted something, and the court, which we keep saying is supposed to be, it was Senator Kennedy said, is sometimes the only bulwark of our liberty. Yeah, well, it failed, and it continues to fail. Because now more and more courts look at it and say, well, the Supreme Court said it's okay, except the Constitution says it's not. So you need to be aware that the government is snooping. And it's not just the federal government. There's a lot of other governments, all your state governments, your local governments, they're probably just likely snooping on you as well. Next. Oh, yeah, let's talk about defund the police. Now, I find it interesting that the cities that have done the most to, quote-unquote, defund the police, cities like New York, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, surprise, surprise, they have had a tremendous jump in crime, including violent crime. Now, I know that the city fathers there, and I know that a lot of the pundits are saying, well, no, it's not because we defunded the police. And I'm sorry. Well, okay, correlation is not causation, right? There's no direct proof that defund the police movements led to increases in crime. But when you have multiple loci, when you have multiple locuses of information, you have multiple data points from different cities, cities that decreased the budget for their police officers, where you had police officer resignations, you've had a decrease in hiring, and you have an increase in crime. It doesn't take a statistical scientist to figure out there's a pretty strong correlation between vilifying the police and an increase in crime. You vilify the police, you defund the police, you make it harder for them to do their legitimate job. And the people who are more than willing to take advantage of that do. It's the same logic of, you know, you set a speed limit and you never patrol that piece of road with a speed limit on it. No one gets a ticket. Guess what? People speed. You go through a town where I lived, where I grew up, lived most of my life, there was this one town that was known for handing out tickets. You know, they were very particular. They had, I believe it was a 35 mile an hour speed limit, and they didn't allow you much over that before they would pull you over and give you a ticket. And guess what? They didn't have that many people speeding through that town. I mean, it's simple human nature. So the truth is, all of these people that have been calling for defunding the police, thinking that would make them safer, it has actually made those places more dangerous. Now, when we have police officers that break the law, they should be punished. They should be charged. They should be tried. And if they're convicted, they should be sentenced and punished. No ifs, ands, or buts. Police have a tremendous amount of responsibility. Therefore, they need to be held to a high standard. I have no problem with investigations of police activity as long as they are done looking for the truth and as long as they're done fairly, respecting the rights of the police officers and the alleged victims. But this idea of simply broad brushing all police as being out to kill people, especially black people. Well, not only is it racist, God, we got back to racism. Not only is it racist, but imagine you are charged with the crimes of someone that sort of looked like you. I mean, you know, we don't charge the children with the crimes that the parents committed. But here, you're charging thousands and thousands of police officers, most of which have a record of working hard and diligently to protect their neighbors at the risk of their own lives, frequently with very little pay, very long hours, and you're painting them as villains for a political agenda. See, the truth is, all this defund the police, it has little to do with George Floyd. It has little to do with the death of black men in the hands of police custody. It really has to do with dismantling a system so that they can institute another one. You know, the leader of Black Lives Matter is an avowed socialist. Her own words, she's an avowed socialist. She's a Marxist. That it's a Marxist-based organization. Well, what better way to bring in Marxism than to do all that you can to destroy the systems that are already there? See, the truth is, defunding the police has done more to damage the black community. Just look at the damage done to those neighborhoods. Look at the black business owners who have lost everything to the riots, to the looting, to the fires. Look at the black men and women, boys and girls who've been killed. And look at the neighborhoods where these crimes are now running even more rampant. Black Lives Matter, the organization, seems to care very little about actual black lives. They seem more interested in a political agenda. If we were concerned about black lives, we would be finding ways to deal with the drug and gang violence in these neighborhoods. That is where black lives are most at risk. And you're not going to get rid of them with marches, with social justice warriors. The only way you're going to get rid of them is with law enforcement. The very people Black Lives Matter and others are trying to get rid of. Let's have a little more fun. So let's see. Biden's Department of Justice, well, they're at it again. They're having fun. They're not too happy with West Virginia, Arkansas. Why? Well, these states have passed laws to prohibit transgender surgery on minors. They've said, no. Before, if they want to transition, wait till they're adults and can make the decision for themselves. This apparently bothers Biden and his Department of Justice because they are going after, they're filing lawsuits, or they're supporting lawsuits to overturn these. Now, here's the truth. If you have a mental condition and believe you're a boy when you're actually a girl, or believe you're a girl when you're actually a boy, listen, if you want to live your life that way, I don't care. Just don't expect me to participate in your delusion. And we do a lot of things to protect children from the bad ideas of adults. You can't take a child to the doctor without the parents' permission. They can't get treatment without the parents' permission. We protect children from abusive parents. If a parent is actually harming a child, the state steps in and says, you know, we're going to protect the child. Well, can you think of anything more harmful than, in effect, neutering a child? Because these transgender surgeries, these quote-unquote transition surgeries, make that child infertile. So even if they have the surgery and they decide, you know what, I was wrong, I want to go back, if my knowledge is correct, they cannot have children. They can no longer have children. That, to me, is a big decision. Now, we wouldn't let a child, say, amputate a leg. You know, dad comes home from the war and he lost part of his leg. You wouldn't have a child amputate their leg so they could be more like dad. But we have groups that want children to amputate other body parts because they feel like it. And speaking of science, science proves that transgenders are not what they think they are. But it also proves that the majority of adolescents who question their sexuality grow out of it. So these states have said, we're going to put laws in place to protect children from rash decisions, from possibly influence from parents or siblings or peers or just society as a whole. Wait until you're an adult, then you can make a decision. And this is vilified. Now, what I find interesting is the Department of Justice thinks it's unconstitutional, but I have yet to figure out how. I've yet to see from the Department of Justice what article, section, and clause of the Constitution these laws violate. They're not denying them the right to vote. They're not preventing them from necessary medical care. These are all voluntary procedures. These are not required procedures. But you see, the truth is, this is not about what is rational, what is logical. It's not even about what is best for the child. It's about a political agenda. And right now, there's one political party that's pushing this agenda. And again, surprise, surprise, Biden and his Department of Justice thinks children should be allowed to permanently damage themselves because they think there's something wrong with them. Of course, then again, it's not just Department of Justice. The Department of Education claims that somehow sex means transgender. Now, I don't know about you, but there's this thing called legislative intent, right? When there's any ambiguity in the language of legislation, you go back and try to determine what was the legislative intent. The legislative intent of Title IX was to ensure that women, biological women, had an equal and fair playing field for sports. Well, if all of a sudden they apply Title IX to transgender, you are doing the exact opposite of the intent of Title IX. Title IX recognized that in many sports, men, biological men, real men, forget this transgender nonsense, men have a physical advantage built into their genetic code. They are generally bigger, stronger, more lung capacity. They generally perform better, which means if you have co-ed football, co-ed soccer, co-ed track and field, not only do you have a very difficult for women to actually compete on a fair playing field, but in some of those sports, you know, football, wrestling, the women could actually get injured. So Title IX said, listen, schools have to have separate male and female sports when there's a physical disparity, when the sport requires something that involves a physical disparity. Now they want to overturn that. Again, not because not because there are huge numbers of transgenders that simply want to participate in sports. They're not saying they can't participate in sports. Just do it based on your biology. Sex is biological. And even if you get the amputation, even if you get the surgery and you take the hormones, it doesn't change the fact that someone born a male has a physical advantage in many sports. But again, the truth is, Biden and his administration really just doesn't care. And then moving on, you know, I really do feel for Mr. Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop. This man, for years, he has been the target of the Rainbow Mafia. And in his latest round, now he's been to the Supreme Court. He did not get the definitive win that some people claimed. I reviewed that. You can find more on the website. But they're at it again. You know, no sooner does he get vindicated in court than they're after him again. This time he refused to make a birthday cake, a transgender birthday cake, a transition from male to female, I believe is what they were celebrating. And once again, the state of Colorado is out to get him. They can't just leave this man alone to make cakes. Now, it's not like he's saying, listen, if you're transgender, I will not serve you. He's saying, listen, there are certain cakes I will not make. It's a violation of my conscience. And Colorado, the state of Colorado, is out to get him. And in the latest round, well, he's lost. It's not over. It's going to go to a higher court. So, I mean, it's not like this is over. But let's face it. The Rainbow Mafia, if at first you don't succeed, sue again. And that's what they're doing to this poor man. They are trying to ruin this poor man because they don't like the fact that he doesn't agree with them. It's not like they couldn't go to half a dozen or a dozen other bakeries to get this known. No, he has to comply. That is the truth behind the transgender and the LGBT move. It is not, they were never going to be satisfied with being allowed to be what they want. They will bully people into compliance. It was said about this was said about gay marriage, and it's come true. It was said about transgender, and it's come true. The truth is, people with an agenda don't simply want acceptance; they want compliance. They want affirmation. It's not good enough to live and let live. You must be forced to think the right way. All of these moves, the CRT, the transgender, a lot of the LGBTQ, LMNOP, whatever, it is not about being allowed to live the way they want. It's about forcing other people to say, you are right. And you see it, not only again with the case in Colorado. You have, Biden's DOJ. They got pilloried because they were going to defend a Christian school's lawsuit that some schools have filed to allow them to live out, to exercise their faith, their religion, the way they want. And the DOJ says, you know what? We have this little thing called the First Amendment. Yeah, they should be allowed to exercise their faith. And they got pilloried. And in a nanosecond, they spun around and said, no, no, no. We're still supporting all these things. Why? Well, the truth is, this is about politics. This is about a political agenda. And this is the state of debate in America today. If you disagree with a certain group, they yell, they scream, and people flip it on a dime. You see it in the Department of Justice. We've seen it in courts. We've seen it in boardrooms. And even a vice president of Facebook has admitted that their quote-unquote fact checkers are biased. The truth is, no one is going to give you the truth. You have to search it out for yourself. Don't even trust me. I mean, I try the best I can to give you the truth as best as possible, but don't even trust me. Because as soon as you let someone else decide what is and isn't true, you cease to be a free citizen. You become a subject of someone else's agenda. The truth is, if you want to be set free, then you must set yourself free rather than waiting for someone to do it for you. Now, you can listen to America Out Loud Talk Radio on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps for Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can stream America Out Loud 24/7, including those podcasts, on that very same app. So search for the truth, find the truth, share it with friends and family, and then join me here next time on the Constitution Study.
Maybe you'll stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day.